The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to We the People. All right, you can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We have a ton of information on there today, and so you don't want to miss that. We'll keep referencing the webpage. You're joining Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And without one or the other of us and or our guest, we are not We the People anymore, which is what happened to us last week.
No, you'd be Me the People.
We'd just be knuckleheads.
Are you feeling better after last week?
I am. Well, Larry got stuck in airplane madness. He was supposed to be on with us, and then his flight got delayed, and he was literally flying exactly during the show, which sort of takes the fun out of it.
And that in turn caused you to get a migraine.
that in turn. Well, I had a headache anyway, and so it was kind of like, well, you know. So anyway, and then the show we told you to play actually was the one where the guest didn't call in.
It was meant to be.
It was the one where the guest didn't call in, and we had to stall for time for like 20 minutes.
That's right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we were
kind of serendipitous.
We were listening to that at home, going, "Oh, should probably have checked which program we put on."
Well, it was still a good program.
It was kind of funny though. So today we're going to have as much fun as we can, although it's not a particularly fun subject. But there are some fun parts, you know, I have to say. There are some fun things.
Fun's where you make it.
You have to make your own fun on this deal. So we are talking again about the Klamath Dam situation and things that are connected to that. There's a lot of stuff connected. I mean, you know, and for those people who are not into natural resource issues, you really should be. Because, man, we're talking in that particular situation about $600 million in agriculture. Not to mention all the connected, you know, ranching that goes on downstream and just.
So if you like to eat, you should probably pay attention.
Yeah, if you're pretty much into food.
Who's controlling your natural resources?
This is also a really big issue with power. You know, for those people who are concerned that we're not using enough green power, because I know you're out there secretly listening. You probably just don't tell your friends, but I know that you're secretly listening. And the deal is, if you're concerned about green power and you think that we should have more of it, then help us explain why you want to take out four perfectly good dams that create hydropower. And I actually have some numbers, of course. Can I find them like right exactly when I want them? No. But I will find them. There were some really good numbers that I got about how much fossil fuel it takes to run, you know, to actually produce power versus hydropower.
Versus hydropower.
Yeah, and specifically this hydropower. So anyway, I'll get that for you before we get too far into this. In the meantime, how are we doing with our guest? Do we have him sufficiently hostage? Taken
yeah,
on
he called
hold?
And I was out of the room.
Right, I know. I just wondered if you pushed the button yes. and whatever. I don't know what goes on over there. We're out of reach of the buttons for good reason. So, Mr. Kogan?
I am here. I've made it.
It's inordinately silent on your end, and so I guess it sort of tricked me.
Well, I try to be as deceptive as the government regulators are to the irrigators.
Well, the first time we talked to you was in, like, a parking lot, I think, and then, you know, we seem to always we always catch you on the go, and you know, yeah. This Klamath, what's that?
No. Part of the delay last week was because the TSA held me up.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part too.
The hamburger flipper TSA employee
who misses 97% of all the bombs, et cetera, that get on the plane.
High qualifications, you know, to be working for TSA.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So at 5 o'clock in the morning, they held probably 1,000 people. And delayed them and probably caused havoc for many of them, just like myself.
Super helpful.
We missed flights. Now you had to replace them, and it just shows you how your government is working overtime to make your life more pleasant.
To make us all safer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I did board a plane the other day with no ID.
That's right. I forgot about that.
That's right. I had no ID. I lost my ID, and I found
it was in his coat pocket.
The coat was packed. But, yeah, I found out when I got to the check-in point that I had no ID. And they will let you board if you're willing to submit to, well, we won't go into detail, but there was.
Just suffice it to say.
Yeah, there was a procedure we had to go through to
board. Was there a little general, you know, a very gentle pat down?
He was very gentle.
No, apparently he got fresh with them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I made it worth his while.
He could have been one of those LBGT people, right?
Yeah.
I think
Bill might have been.
What was the comment?
Hold it. Everyone was Conrad there?
he gets those dark circles around his eyes from something.
Well, actually, he was going through the thorough pat down, and as he was coming up my legs, I said, "You have a very gentle touch, sir. Are you married?" And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I'm divorced."
I think you've got a perfect perfect analogy to what the regulators are trying to do: a gentle pat down to the irrigator.
There it is.
And Conrad's the ringleader.
Oh my gosh! With
Trofen.
Well, I think the thing we should probably let people in on some of our inside joke, besides the fact that Bill can't be trusted to travel alone for a multitude of reasons. The Klamath Dam situation sort of ran out of steam at the end of last year when a piece of legislation did not make it through Congress. And it didn't make it through Congress. Some of the things that you read in the paper, you know, I've had people say, well, Congress wasn't doing its job, they let it lapse. No, Congress was doing its job and they forced it to lapse. I mean, making that thing die at the end of the year was really hard. It was not for lack of attention. But then we turn right around first part of this year, and surprise, they have a new idea. But they have a new idea with a twist. They want to take out the Klamath Dam still, but they don't want to make a deal with the irrigators, and they don't want to make their deal with the tribes, plus or minus. But they do want to hold the meetings in secret. And but according to them, it's a privileged and confidential negotiation, except it's federal and state employees and a public utility. So, yes,
I'm thinking the public should be.
Yeah.
Present.
And it's all financed by your tax dollars. So at some point, you know, we thought the taxpayers should be there. So after three secret meetings, forced them to have a public meeting last Wednesday, and rather than, let's see, what was it, 275 miles from the shadow of the closest dam, as the congressman put it. Just ridiculous. So down in Sacramento at Fort EPA, we had a little soiree. And I actually have included a nice picture of Mr. Ed Sheets that I took at that meeting. Not really his most flattering shot, but it's the only one I got with just him in it. And then if you scroll down, you'll see the effect that Larry has on people. Chuck Bonham with his mouth hanging open, and John Bezdek looks like he has some sort of an intestinal situation starting. So anyway, now.
Well, you know what it is. It's you know, they have to carry every burden of playing. Now you see it, now you don't.
All that secrecy is kind of draining. Well, you were asking them some really nice Columbo questions. Your tactic the other day was all about the. I just have one thing I'd like to know, and then they don't play poker very well. Actually, at one point, I thought the one guy was going to blow a vein. His lips were white. He had them pressed together so hard they were white.
Well, Chuck has his mouth shaped like that often, I'm sure.
It just was hilarious. Bezdek looked like he was going to pass out. It was nice.
Considering his affiliations, I'm sure he knows how to keep his mouth that shape for a long time.
We're going to play rough today, folks, by the way. I forgot to put that little disclaimer in there.
We couldn't do it at the public meeting, so we might as well play rough now.
I know, because it's just been welling up inside us.
Well, you know, with his mouth that way, he not only can blow smoke rings, he can do other things.
Exactly. And there are a lot of smoke rings. Bill. Even Bill's turning red on this one. What? Mr. TSA?
Well, Yeah, well, that was gentle.
That was different.
That was about
gentleness. That was different.
Was that discolored? I'm sorry.
Oh, that was funny. So
maybe we should start at the beginning so folks know what exactly that meeting was about.
God, can you imagine going back to the beginning?
Well,
it just
maybe
seems
not
so
always
long ago.
The beginning. Yeah.
Are we going to do a Once Upon a Time story?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, Once Upon a Time, this is also happening for folks who listen to us on a regular basis. All those programs you heard about Montana with our friend Elaine Willman on the Kerr Dam, just in case you thought that was an unrelated incident, surprise, this is really, really similar. However, this will be the largest dam removal in history. So the environmentalists who supposedly love green power but hate dams because of a lot of stupid reasons, actually, and just don't seem to be able to acknowledge the disaster that it's going to cause, they see this as the beginning to a whole bunch more dams being removed. So if you think it's not coming for you, I beg you to think again. Bob, do we have to take a quick break before we get on to the,
we probably
dare
should.
I say, the meat of the issue? Okay.
Well,
what?
No, nothing. I'm glad that we're moving off that discord subject matter.
off that ugly visual. We're going to come back. We're going to actually make this very, very coherent for you. And just in case you thought we were just, you know, making this stuff up, all the documents are posted. You can find them at wethepeopleradio.us, along with all the great information about our guest, Mr. Lawrence Cogan. Be right back. The only thing more inappropriate than us is our music. Thanks, Bob. Together, we're all very inappropriate. Ruh-roh. Did we disconnect, Larry?
He's back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, okay. So one of the things I kind of neglected to mention at the beginning, you can always join us live on Sundays. We have a chat room open on Sundays from noon to 2 when the program actually airs. We also air Mondays 1 to 3 on the East Coast. The noon to 2 is Pacific time, actually. And then 1 to 3 East Coast time on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network on WNJC 1360. And if you go to our website at wethepeopleradio.us, they actually have a phone number that you can call and listen to all their programs on the phone. So if you have somebody who doesn't have enough signal on their computer to actually listen to something either recorded or live, they can just listen on the phone, especially if they have free, you know, minutes of some kind, or they don't get charged for a long distance, solve their problem. Okay, so today's program is about the Klamath Dam situation. And actually, it's a much wider thing than just that one particular issue, but it's a really good illustration of what's happening other places.
And what's to come.
And what's like coming.
They're not going to stop with that one.
No, they won't. So we also are kind of exposing Mr. Ed Sheets, who is basically a U.S. government operative and mediator. He's a facilitator, paid facilitator for the meetings in Montana and also the ones out here in California.
How exactly do you get a facilitator job?
Well, it's a no bid. So he's just it. He just gets hired.
He's a federal employee. And
No, he's not a federal employee, but he was paid by Bureau of Reclamation in Montana. And the question was asked who was paying him for the Klamath Dam situation and got the answer that it was Federal Fish and Wildlife.
So he's an ex...
But haven't been able to confirm that yet.
He's an ex-federal employee?
No.
No?
Larry?
Who's an ex-federal employee?
No. Ed Sheets. He's not a... He's well,
Ed
he's,
Sheets. Ed Sheets was a former leading advisor to former Senator Warren Magnuson back in the 70s. And okay. Warren Magnuson was the co-sponsor and co-author of major environmental legislation that has continued to nightmare industry since the 70s. And he is living largely the legacy of his former boss by portraying himself as an environmental activist as his boss was. He was also an affirmative action supporter of the Indian rights movement that was promoted at that time by the former Billy Franks, who recently passed away. Mm-hmm. And so what Magnuson was an advocate for Indian rights, water rights, at the expense of irrigators, and was also an advocate for environmentalist demands at the expense of irrigators. So those are the things that Mr. Sheets takes with him and rolls forward to the present.
Okay.
Although he's supposed to be a neutral facilitator.
Yeah, he's
although the meeting Wednesday neutral, right? Degenerated into, you know, kind of a name-calling deal, so I guess I hold the facilitator skills in question there.
Yes, Mr. Sheets is as neutral a facilitator as the Bureau of Indian Affairs is a neutral agency.
And I guess he's about as neutral as we are.
Yes, and about as neutral as we are.
Yeah, all the teams have been chosen. If you're not on the right one, be prepared to be kicked through the goalpost. Okay, so where would you like to go with this, since it's a bit of a tangled knot?
Okay, well, we have a key person who works as a consultant to the Bureau of Reclamation and has done so since 2000. The information we have thus far come up with, and we're looking to validate, is that he's earned at least $1.6 million from the Bureau of Reclamation to drive the people of the Klamath Basin crazy.
So he's like a private contractor that works for Bureau of Reclamation?
Yes, he is the indispensable, one-of-a-kind, extraordinary, neutral facilitator for the Bureau of Reclamation that is out there to try to make the medicine go down for the Klamath irrigators easily.
Right.
And that message, or the medicine, is, well, you know, you all don't matter as much anymore. We have to worry about Indians and the environment. And by the way, if you don't get your water delivery and the food isn't, you know, the food product isn't cultivated, well, you know, that's just one of those collateral damage problems that you have to face.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, what he's done is he's worked up in Montana to facilitate the entering into force of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribe, Montana State, and U.S. Department of Interior Water Compact, which basically takes away the water rights of irrigators based on some utopian notion of in-stream water rights to Indians with time immemorial caveman-era priority dates. So there's no way you can win as an irrigator, even if you were to use the treaty date of the Hellgate Treaty of 1855 as your priority water date, in order to make a call on your water, because the tribes go back into the era of the Flintstones. And as a result, the people of the flooded Indian reservation are currently and will be denied the lower-cost energy that they have been benefiting from for the last, 80 years. And now the tribes, with total ownership and control of the dam, with the Bureau of Indian Affairs owning their irrigation project, control all access to water, physical access as well as water rights. So Mr. Sheets, you deserve kudos for destroying the irrigators' lifestyle and livelihoods, both in the Klamath and in the flathead Indian reservation.
So how do the Indians come out on top on this thing? If they lose their cheap power, are they just going to get a cash payoff?
It's the irrigators that lose their cheap power.
They lose their low-cost power, which, you know, the power rates they pay in Northern California are ridiculous. And the rates they pay in the Klamath Basin should be lower, according to the original dam agreements.
And at the risk of being like one of those TV shows that keeps having flash backwards and gets everybody confused, we should flash back and explain that after the war, Second World War, the people up in the Tule Lake and Klamath area, that land was parceled out to the soldiers. They were given like barracks that were used as, you know, internment camps for the 4 years. And they were given those and plots of land. And this whole project was set up with irrigation and all that. And it became a basin filled with like $600 million of different crops farming. So we're looking at primarily potatoes and wheat, alfalfa. You have some horseradish. And not much, if any, rice. But you have, I mean, staples. These are staple products. This isn't, you know, fancy stuff that nobody eats. I mean, this is basic stuff that everybody eats. And they've been doing that for almost 100 years there. And some people were actually farming that area prior. Uh-oh.
Well, there I mean, you have to go back in history, unfortunately, to see what the arrangements were previously that are now being changed with some legal mumbo-jumbo so that it suits the, you know, the political agenda of those in government and in the environmental community and in the pro-Indian Affairs community. You erase past history, you repair under the rubric of social justice all of the wrongs that were committed against the Indians centuries ago and that we're all still responsible for, even though we don't know anybody who committed these acts. And you, lo and behold, have the irrigators that are on the, you know, paying the bill right now. And there's no one to defend them, unfortunately, because everyone's got a conflict. All the lawyers in the basin have a conflict of interest. They either work for the tribes, they work for the state, or they work for the Pacific Corps at one point in time.
It was brought up in the last meeting that the attorney that used to represent one of the largest irrigation districts, the Klamath Irrigation District, their board of directors has flipped and they are against these agreements. Their membership is against these agreements and have elected board members to represent them that way. But when they hired you, Mr. Sheets felt the need to tell them that by hiring you, they were going to make a lot of people angry.
Well, you know, he said that the Montana tribe did not like me. You know, that really isn't a motivating force one way or the other.
That doesn't upset you, huh?
No, no. I mean,
he's got that good New York skin.
My pinky trembled a little bit, but really when you look at it, the question is not whether the tribal members don't like me, because they do. They've asked me for assistance because they've been abused, exploited, and usurped by their tribal council in Montana. These guys on the council, they're pretty large. They probably have Swiss bank accounts and chalets out in the Alps.
Yeah, there's a ton of money coming in, but the tribal members aren't seeing any of it.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, and these tribal members live in trailer camps or in squalor huts. Their kids are taken away from them because they speak out against the council. They're fired from their tribal jobs because they have the audacity to question the council, because you can't question an Indian council. Because they're a sovereign nation. You can't raise any type of opposition. Mm. This is called communalism, tribal style. It's kind of like the great, you know, what is it, the Black Bear Commune in Fort Jones. Okay, it's the same people. I mean, these guys that were sitting at that meeting this past Wednesday in the California Fish and Wildlife Office. Was it California EPA office?
Yeah, Fort EPA.
To me, they're all the same. They're all, you know, really... If you really want to go off script, I mean, these guys are commune people. They're communists, communitarians, Bolsheviks, socialists, whatever you want to call them. They all seem to define what they do and what they stand for.
Like Bernie Sanders was in there, wasn't he?
No, Bernie was there in spirit, and so was Elizabeth Warren. She was out there lighting, you know, smoke fires
in order to communicate.
She was sending signals out in the parking lot.
For 116 Cherokee.
She's part some. She's some Indian portion. Maybe it's, you know, even less than the 1/8 blood quantum that they now need in order to get more money, to get more heads and bodies into the tribe.
Hmm.
But that's how they make their money. They keep on watering down the blood quantum requirement to be a tribal member, and then they can get more people into the tent, or teepee in this case.
Well, it's interesting, though, because only some tribes are special. Only some are special, because you have a very large tribe, actually, who's not federally recognized up here in Northern California, and the Shasta tribe, their burial grounds are covered over by the reservoirs that are behind the dams. So, literally, if they let these dams go, they're going to take their ancestors and wash them down the river. But that seems
literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I mean, but that seems to be okay.
The Shasta have been shafted.
Exactly. They're not special enough. So before somebody, you know, I don't know, I'm always in the back of my head hearing the, the skeptics out there. Well, explain that. You know, if you think the Indians are getting a bad deal. Those guys are getting a really bad deal.
I met Mr. Gentry at my meeting. He was, you know, very dignified and, you know, was very welcoming of my attendance in the meeting until he started to hear my questions. And then there were the other tribal members from the Yurok and what was the other tribe?
The Karuks.
The Karuk tribe. And then there was a Hoopa tribe representative there as well. But nobody talks about the Indian water rights because they should be tied to reservations. But the Klamath tribe has a specifically interesting deal that grants them 100,000 acres or so. That's part of the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement that expired. But somehow that 100,000-acre transfer is going to be pulled back into the KHSA, the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, in order to activate their reserve off-reservation water right with the caveman time immemorial priority date.
Mm-hmm.
So, these agreements are treated by the regulators as standing on their own 2 feet and that they're siloed, in effect. But they really have interactivity between each other, and that's one thing the regulators did not like attention being drawn to. It's kind of like little stepping stones across the pond, and they're all, you know, necessary and interrelated.
Right. Well, and
that way they keep people guessing. People are focused on the magnificence of the blade of grass, and they don't realize the swamp that's growing around them.
True. And this whole thing was designed to be really, really fast-tracked. I think it was it February they came out with the agreement in principle?
The one that was somehow publicly divulged. And
The agreement in principle was public, and that was first part of the year, and it basically said representative from the California governor's office, the Oregon governor's office, the Department of the Interior, and the Pacific Corp, their corporation, they had all agreed in principle to take out the Klamath dams. And it was just a little page and a half deal with no specifics, and it was kind of like, oh, great, here we go again. And then got kind of quiet for a few weeks until we found out that they were going to be holding these. Let's see, they had a meeting in Medford, missed that one, didn't find out about that in time, did show up for the one in Sacramento, and they were not happy.
Let's talk about what their plan was as far as the Shell Corporation. I think we have to take a break real quick.
We do, but we don't have the music up yet, so we're getting there. Oh, we do?
Yeah, we're ready.
Oh, Bob's way faster.
When we come back, let's get into what their little scheme was before it was really made public.
I wish we could put a voting thing on the website so we could get people to vote. Like, do you think this is a private property rights issue, or do you think it's something that involves the taxpayers? So that'll be the question to you when we come back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Shell Corporation. I think we have to take a break real quick.
We do, but we don't have the music up yet, so we're getting there. Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bob's way faster. We come back.
Okay, I thought it's a long story.
It sounds like an engineering snafu here, but that's okay. We all have those moments.
I just want you to know we're far away from the buttons.
I'm going to go jump off the roof.
Don't do it, Bob.
Callers are driving me insane.
Time is really wasted. Can't come back till the water goes down 5 feet high and rising. Well, it's 5 feet high and rising.
Actually, it's a lot higher than that here. Our lake's almost full. It's kind of great. They said we'd never have enough water again.
Take 5 years to fill that lake.
My God, the politics of scarcity were in high gear. Yeah,
hey, that's Bureau of Reclamation, too, isn't
hey,
it?
Hey, it is.
They were so busy worrying about the little dam that the big dam almost overflowed.
And
oops. Release the hounds!
Oh, my gosh. So you're joining We the People. Online, you will find a ton of information at wethepeopleradio.us. And just in case you need a break, you know, you want to listen to something fun and you'd like to know some of the characters behind the madness, I will link it. I haven't done it yet, but go back in our archives and look up the show on the Black Bear Commune. Seriously, it's a gut buster. There's a nice little video there called Commune, which is enough to make your hair curl. And this is where a lot of these folks came from, the local ones up there in Northern California. We're online here with Lawrence Kogan. He has 25 years of international business and law experience, working with public and private clients on this is always a tongue twister, cross-border transactional planning and policy matters. Does a lot of regulatory stuff. A lot of things that people think might be boring, but I'll tell you what: when the wheels are coming off the wagon, you gotta pray there's some guy named Lawrence Kogan in your back pocket
that knows all about it.
Yeah, and the people who do bad things from the different governmental agencies, they love him.
They do. They love seeing him coming.
They totally love him.
Well, I appreciate that support. After looking at all the socialist governments around the world that I've had to address regulations from my clients, I've now come back home and seen the same socialist regulatory mechanisms at play. It's unfortunate, but
familiarity with foreign socialism
is
informing my knowledge here.
Yeah, and it's popping up everywhere, and people just don't realize how bad this is getting.
Well, I think they do, but it's kind of ethereal. I don't think people necessarily are looking at the practical aspects, because this is really practical, the dams and agricultural and agriculture and everything. It's very, very practical. So what were we going to do when we came back from our break?
We're going to.
What was the thing, Larry? Do you remember?
Oh well, we were looking at
goofed off, and
as I recall, some of these impacts on people and why it's important for people to become engaged in this public process. Okay, because we have a quote unquote neutral facilitator who's decidedly one sided. We have regulators that are basically playing shell game with information. We have some irrigators who have been bought off and are drinking, Ed Sheets Kool-Aid, and wanting to give up their water rights and their ability to farm and ranch according to their terms. And then you have, Pacific Corps, who is basically incorporating their cost-benefit analysis in favor of dam removal instead of license renewal.
Well, that's what, in
this KHSA agreement, but they don't want to disclose the agreement, this cost-benefit analysis to the public, which I found astounding.
Right, and I think that's what we were going to talk about, was their scheme to take all this out of the public realm and make it all private so they could kind of bypass the whole system and get what they want.
Yeah, because the one secret meeting down in Sacramento, it was on a very short timeline, like a month, two months.
The public meeting that the public didn't know about and wasn't welcome to attend.
And they were going to create a 501c3 nonprofit, transfer the dams from Pacific Corp to the 501c3 nonprofit that was staffed by but didn't have to be former government employees. That was their words, not mine. And
well, isn't it true, Aaron, that they were planning doing the next meeting either in Santa Monica or Tijuana so that the stakeholders couldn't get there?
Well, pretty close, because the meeting after that one where they were their slides didn't work. The one slide came up that said that they were creating the nonprofit to circumvent Freedom of Information Act requests and to go around Congress or something to that effect. I didn't get a picture of it, but I should have.
Federal Advisory Committee Act also, so they don't have to report the meetings.
Exactly, that too. And by the way, the next meeting was in Portland, real convenient. So that's 11 hours from here.
Yeah, and these are issues that are affecting Siskiyou County, and they're trying to put these meetings as far away from Siskiyou County.
Yeah, but it got better, because in Portland, after there was a lot of pressure put on them by Congressman LaMalfa, a lot of pressure to make these meetings public, and they said, well, we could have it in Portland again, or San Francisco was one of the options from one of the stakeholders sitting around the table, said, well, how about San Francisco? It'd be easier to fly in there. And I thought, you're killing me. But that's what I always think when they start talking. So,
well, maybe Pacific Corp is going to offer their office in Tijuana as a location for a vacation.
Well, it always becomes, you know, people always say, well, it's a private property rights issue. The company that owns the dams, if they want to take them out, they can, because it's all private property rights. However, all of this is being orchestrated with state employees, federal employees from different agencies, paid for by the California Water Bond, if their plans go as they...
And it's a public utility.
And it's a public utility. They want to use California Water Bond money and the ratepayer surcharge that they've been charging the Pacific Corp customers. So all of it is taxpayer money. So, anyway, the pressure is to start this over again and make it an open public process, but we don't have an answer on that just yet. What's your guess, Larry? You think they'll do it?
They'll make it public? Well, listen, you know, they can't give you everything, so maybe they make it public and they make you travel for a day. Just so that you have a full appreciation for what they're doing.
There you go.
But really, you know, what's going on here is criminal in effect, because not only are they deceiving the stakeholders regarding their true intent and motivations, they're also, you know, you have a private company that's denying the residents of the basin more affordable electric rates in order to make more profit. Then they don't want to divulge in a public document that they're a signatory to, their cost-benefit analysis that is the basis for the decision, their decision, to remove the dams rather than relicense them. And then you have the government that says that they're not making any determination itself, at least the Department of Interior is now saying it's not making a determination concerning the need to remove the dams based on any type of science. And they're placing this now within the jurisdiction of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is a division of the Department of Energy, all in an attempt to circumvent the will of Congress concerning this interstate compact, which they say doesn't exist. So, you know, you feel like you're in Alice in Wonderland, because the world's turned upside down and what you think exists doesn't exist. And if you believe it does, then you're seeing things, including black helicopters.
And it turns out all that is true, which is kind of
trying to make people think they're crazy and that they're the only ones that are sane.
One of the big things that keeps happening with this is that they basically have picked on a group of people that they think doesn't have the ability to defend themselves in a county that's small, that doesn't have a lot of money. It's already been decimated by the spotted owl and all sorts of other things. And I think they're always surprised how much these guys fight back.
Well, listen, when your back's against the wall and your family livelihood is at stake, that can roll over. And unfortunately, these people in government who have only stripes to put on their shoulders by taking the irrigators out of commission have nothing to defend other than their ideology. Ideology, at the end of the day, ideology will be vanquished by livelihoods and basic need to exist. And they have to realize that. The law may be what it is, but people power is greater.
Yeah, we keep hoping. You know, we always, we dodge one bullet and then, surprise, it's back again.
Well, you can understand why Donald Trump has gotten so much support, because there's nobody else out there, aside from Ted Cruz, who doesn't agree with the way the government is currently being operated. And these people want to do something about it, and it may take breaking the china in the china shop in order to get the shop to operate well again.
Yeah, I think these guys see that coming, that potential change coming, and I think that's why the inordinate rush, the onset of you showing up has turned out to be incredibly inconvenient for them.
Well, you know, I have that habit of being inconveniently available.
So what is their...
we need to listen to a little song and some commercials.
Okay. Well, let's get back to how they set all this up.
Okay, you got to remember it, because it takes me 5 minutes to remember.
All right, I'll remember.
Sorry, everybody. Right. We got 3 hours of sleep last night. Okay, so you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. Give a Damn song. There's that other Give a Damn song, no? It's when our Give a Damn's busted, though, huh?
Yeah, the one we play every week.
Okay, the one I know better than that one. Oh, my gosh, you're joining me, the people. We're wrapping up our first hour here with our friendly attorney from New York, the land of New York, or the People's Republic of New York. Isn't that what you always call it?
Well, as you remember during the hearing, public meeting, I introduced myself as being from the People's Republic of New York, but stating that I wasn't a communist.
That's right. And then, of course, they had to attack you for coming from New York. It was like, okay, that's random.
Right. Remember, what was your name? Becky?
Becky Hyde. Becky. Was very pushed that you took the place of the other attorney who used to go along with all their stuff. How dare you come and rock the boat?
Well, you know what it was? I wasn't part of the Black Bear Commune. That was why. I want to alert you all to a new theme I think we should now bring forward in this discussion.
Oh.
Because these regulators have their own agendas, but they are following the lead instruction from their POTUS.
Okay? True.
Now, if you look at Reuters, March 20th, 2016 article, entitled Brazil's Rousseff Lacks Senate Votes to Defeat Impeachment. Now, why don't we have one of those activities for President Obama? Let's try to impeach him. Let's see what our rhino Republican representatives in Congress will do to stand up for the people who have been beaten through regulation and property rights diminishment by this President of the United States. Why don't we impeach him, and let's see if we can make him seek votes that he may lack in the U.S. Senate. Why does this have to happen in Brazil and not here?
Well, we will explore that when we come back. Mr. Kogan, hang with us. You got a few minutes to take a breath and gather your thoughts. Folks, I hope you go to the website. It is wethepeopleradio.us. There's a ton of information there. And we'll have the archive posted for you this afternoon. So if you want to send this to a friend, lots of different links to other shows we've done on the topic, if you're feeling like you came in partway through the movie. Thanks a lot. Be right back.